Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle here with me, and we are releasing this episode a little bit late, and that's part of why we have this special guest here with us today. We have requested Trisha LaChica to come back, so she's here to join us. And really, one of the reasons that she's here is because this morning she was texting me because we were running late and we hadn't lined up any guests, and it was just going
to
be me and Kyle.
Yeah, way to go, as of Damon. This morning. Way to drag your feet.
I know. And so she texted me and said, hey, where's the new episode? I said, hey, do you want to come right now and record? And she's here. So welcome
Hello.
To the show, Trish.
My normal surprise, surprise. I think I've beat my record from last year. What do you think?
We weren't going to talk about it.
I know.
You brought it up, yeah.
Specifically, I mean, yeah. Kyle said that he thought that the podium talk was too much and we need to stop talking about it unless Trish brought it up. So you brought it up. I guess we can.
I was not talking about the podium.
I know.
As in, like, I'm not.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you on.
You make me sound like I am bloodthirsty. Is that the right word? To be first, no.
You're an egomaniac.
I'm just not working right now. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, okay, let's go.
No,
I love talking.
I love it that you actually asked Damon, when is this episode coming out? Like, where's the next one?
The anticipation for the next episode. Maybe it's because she wanted to hear what you have to say about your recent sermon. Kyle.
Let's hear it.
And full disclosure, it was my fault that we didn't record. Usually we record on Wednesdays. I had
a medical
procedure yesterday.
A standard medical procedure that everyone is going to have to get eventually.
45, 50-ish.
Put him on mute.
We'll leave that to your imagination. It was a real hoot. I'm the only one at recording right now that's had it, so yeah.
I'm literally gonna use that from now on. It was a hoot. I like it.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on.
Where are you gonna take us now, Damon?
So one of the other reasons that we wanted Trish to come on today is because we know that she'll give us honest feedback, and since Kyle and I were the two most recent speakers, we thought we could just ask her, "Hey, Trish, can you give us some honest feedback about the last two sermons?
Which one was
better?
Oh! Rate them.
Nope.
1 to 100.
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That was actually one of our April Fool's jokes that we were just rolling out early.
We're just getting ready for it. We're trying to prepare ourselves.
So we'll let you off the hook.
No one's going to come record with you guys now.
I'm going to text you later, though, so I wanted an answer.
Should I look at my notes and who has,
whose did you take more notes
on?
Yes. That's what it should be. She actually might do that. I don't know.
Well, it's not fair because Damon's was more like with Dylan.
It's multi-gen.
Oh, so mine was better. Okay, thanks.
Yours was
more heady, Kyle. Yeah. So there was just more
notes to take off. Too much. Yeah. She was like, I'm reading through my notes and I'm not sure what I want to talk about. So maybe my message was confusing enough that she can't even understand her own notes. So maybe that's points for Damon.
What date was it when you?
March 3rd, because it was my wife's birthday that day.
You know,
and I was told not to make or not to
reference it.
I wasn't allowed to embarrass her that day. So
what the heck? We got to celebrate her birthday?
No, we celebrated, but I was told that I couldn't embarrass her in front of everyone at church.
Next year, I'll do it.
Okay, you guys asked.
We're MCs, so we have
March 3rd.
We have liberty to do some of those
Literally,
kind of things.
I forget my own kids' birthdays, so you're going to have to remind me. Okay, you guys asked for it.
No, it's okay.
This is Damon's notes.
Ooh.
It's like five lines.
And then this is Kyle's.
Oh, man.
Kyle's is like 200.
Yeah.
Okay.
50. We'll say 50, 55.
Like I said, it was completely different. I put the application for that, but I was mesmerized by the whole your cousin, Terrence.
Yeah.
And your mad scientist and
Dylan. Yeah, no, Damon.
I was so mesmerized, I did not even touch my phone once. So I almost called you Dylan.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I do it sometimes.
So they were both completely different and amazing. How about that?
What an answer. I love it.
There you go.
And then after the episode is over, we'll get the honest feedback. Yeah.
No, that's the truth and I'm sticking with it.
Okay, so in this most recent sermon, it was Kyle, and he shared with us a little bit about maturity and unity. And it was cool because we were able to see Kyle mature right on stage as he was strutting, or actually he said he was walking. We said next time he'll start strutting. Right.
Yeah, so that's from Penn, right?
She told levels of maturity.
She told Pastor Barry one time that he needs to strut around on stage. I'm not to that level yet.
Oh. Yeah.
So he went from standing behind the podium to now he's walking around the stage, and next time he'll start strutting.
Man, you know, I noticed that. I didn't put two and two together because I didn't even realize that you just stayed at the podium when you spoke.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, it's like watching a TED Talk. I feel like they walk a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I was like, wow, he's like really engaged. Like you're walking and you're looking at both sides. And and I was like, oh, wow. But I didn't realize that you didn't do that. And then when you said it, I was like, because it looked natural. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't look like you were, quote unquote, forcing yourself to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
And I think another way that it showed you that you were maturing on stage is that I think this was your more, like more of your personality was coming out in this one. Right. I think sometimes in the past you get so teacher mode that it gets very, like, more so serious and things like that. And this time you were able to like mess around with Todd and
oh yeah, and, that's right.
I just felt like more of your Kyle personality that we get on the podcast was able to come out on stage too. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if it came through clear or not, but it wasn't necessarily the maturity of like the performance side, like, oh, I can be a better speaker and a better presentation. But that was just like the outcome of it. It was more of that I was using the stand as like something to hide behind. Mm-hmm. And even my notes, because that got me more in the teacher mode, is trying to be so worried about, I need to say it the right way. I need to say it just this way. Otherwise, it's not going to come out right. And being too overly concerned with that. And there's an important part of that. And I think certain parts of my message, I needed to go back and make sure I read it. But I think that in the past, it's kept me from really, yeah, like my personality. And that I felt like that was the Lord's challenge to me. I don't know, even know why I got emotional when I brought that up, but I really felt like it was another challenge from the Lord. Like, okay, it's okay to do it the way you've been doing it, but that's not the fullness of who you are. And just the fact that he would do that to me, like, hey, I want more for you. I want what's better for you. I don't know. I think it touches me every time I get those kind of more personal challenges, instead of it being like fearful or scary. And it's like, wow, he actually, even if something kind of small, right? It's not that big of a deal. He's like, no, but that's still part of you stepping into how I made you. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, for me, what it felt like the heart of your message was, is that the Lord wants more for us. Mm-hmm. And are we ready to step in, or are we going to take the steps to receive that more that he has for us too?
Yes. Like last episode, you guys were talking about fruit of the Spirit, and you guys were like, it's hard because it's like you don't want it to be performance based. Mm-hmm. And you guys were having a hard time. And I was like, it's just literally submitting and being in alignment. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, and then all the fruit of the Spirit comes with that. And so I feel like that's why you got emotional, because you stepped out of your comfort zone and you were doing it this way, the way God made you, you know, and you felt it. You felt like that joy of being up there and maturing, like, you know, so like I see why you got emotional. Mm-hmm. When I was sitting in the service, I was like, oh, you're mature, like just any little step in our faith walk is an emotional thing. And you were, you know, and not in, you know, proud is bad, right? Quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're proud of yourself too at the same time.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
I felt, okay, thanks. I felt more comfortable being more just who I am. Mm-hmm. But I had to also let go of a little bit of that performance side of like, because there was a few things that I missed, a few points that I had written down that I wanted to say, but because I was moving around more, I got off track a little bit, but I was able to not beat myself up over it, like, oh, I didn't do it perfect or whatever, because I felt after I was done, I felt wow, that felt different in a good way. Like it felt more natural and yeah.
And I think that's something else that I love about our people at Catalyst is that there's so much grace in our congregation that, I mean, in my message a couple of weeks ago, we messed up and there was so many different technical difficulties and things like that. And it actually just made it fun, right? And everybody just felt like I could just feel the grace. Like it didn't feel like, oh man, I messed up. I need to make sure I don't do that again. But it was just, hey, this is our family and we're just talking to our family and we're able to enjoy it together and could laugh at ourselves when we make a mistake and that's okay. And it's okay. And I really appreciate that about our church family is that really the grace that we talk about with that the Lord shows to us, like our church family is good at helping each other to recognize that and experience it too.
Yeah. This is total side note, but Kyle and I both MC. And that's like, we welcome everyone, we do announcements and then that's it where we leave. But, so I had been feeling like really nervous for months and months emceeing, which is, was something I love to do. And I was like, I'm not enjoying it or I don't even want to do it really. And, I think because I love the way other people MC and I would try maybe like or not being myself, but I was like, I want to be like that person, right? And one day I really felt, I wasn't even like praying about it, but I feel like God was like, you need to be you. And I took the, what is it? Instead of, what is it? Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. So I did. And I didn't tell anyone, but I grabbed the mic like a few minutes before church started. And I started like running around. And I was like, church is starting. You know, I'm not trying to make like, that's, Pastor Barry said he really enjoyed it. So I was like, I'm not trying to make church into some production or a joke. I said, I want people to be excited. And this is, when you're sitting in church or a meeting or something, like you don't sit there smiling, but as an MC, when you're up there and you're trying to get like people excited or announcements and you're, and everyone, like I'm making my face very stoic. Like you have like 100 people just staring at you with like no emotion. It throws me off sometimes, like, and then I get, you know, I'm like kind of flustered a little bit and I'm like, oh my God, I'm an idiot up here. And then I'm like, no, it's not about me. You know, it's like this whole thing when you're up on stage and it's like 2 seconds worth of all these emotions and thoughts. And I felt like I'm having more fun now. And it's like, I want people to be excited. I want them to be like, yes, church is starting. You know, we're going to get ready for worship. To me, it feels like that too.
It's more, it's just you being authentic.
Yes. Right?
And I think that's a step in maturity too. Being able to be authentic and be okay with just who you are and not have to worry about the other things.
You said that really well. I was sitting there as Trish was talking, thinking, how am I going to say what Kyle... What you just said right now, I was like, I want to say that, but how? What would be the best way to say that? And then you just go out and say it. There you go. Good job, Kyle.
Effortlessly.
Well, for our listeners, too, so I'll give you a little backstory on my prep time. So this time was different. So usually I prep in front of my desk, in front of my screen. And so I'm practicing more the delivery of the words, right? How do I say things? Where do I pause and that? So this time, because I knew I was challenged to walk around, I'm like, I have to do my prep different. So I actually brought a music stand home from here from the FC and I put it in my living room and all of my rehearsals, my going through it was all live. Whereas in the past I could kind of imagine, oh, maybe I could do that here or there, but really I didn't actually take those steps. And so then in the moment it was really hard, but because I did it ahead of time, I kind of had practiced the real way. And so then when I was up there doing it, it felt, that helped feel natural too. So it's kind of like when we get these calls to mature and step into things, it takes steps and it takes like courage to just go do it. But then like, I don't know, I have it with my kids. You probably, Trish and Damon, you do too, that if you just tell them to just try it once, just try it again, try it. And then it's like, oh yeah, this isn't that big a deal. But right, we all have that mentality of, oh, that's such a big hurdle. It's such a big mountain. It's such a whatever. But if you just took one step, you'd be like, oh, this is nothing like I built up in my mind. So for me, that was a big understanding that I need to put the work in ahead of time to get those kind of results. And it was like, yeah, but it helped a lot. And it actually brought down a lot of the enemy's tools of fear, anxiousness, and all those kind of things.
So as you were talking about that, I think that's a good segue into one of the things that we wanted to talk about this morning is that during your message, Kyle, I kind of got this imagery of sports. And so in my example, it was basketball. And then as we were talking about it this morning, it's like, oh, maybe we should talk about baseball, or maybe we could talk about both. So I'll just share a little bit about what the imagery that I got was, and then we can kind of go from there, I guess. So one of the things that we've been talking about is this know it, experience it, live it, right? And how the Lord wants us to not just know about him, but he wants us also to experience it, him. And then he also wants us to live out our faith, right? And they're all connected. And as we go from one to the next and kind of back and forth, there's just a deeper, more full knowledge that we have. And so when you were talking about that a little bit, I've been recently playing in a basketball league, and this is the first time I've played since pre-pandemic, right? So it's like 4 years.
And you're in a new decade now, right?
Yes, I am in a
new decade. It makes a difference.
how come you had to bring that part up? Okay, anyway.
Because you have to bring the fullness of like what you're going to share, because I think that helps people understand, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's old.
Okay, so for the first couple games, I was out there and, you know, I was like, I know what to do, right? I've coached basketball for, you know, multiple years. I've been coached. It's like, I know what to do. And I've done it before, right? I don't want to pat myself too much on the back, but
Here it comes.
I was pretty good.
Okay.
But then actually going out and doing it again, it wasn't working, right? Like my timing was really off. I could tell I hadn't touched a ball in a long time, like in a game situation, right? You know, my kids play basketball right now, and I help coach their teams. And so I'll shoot a little bit, or I'll dribble, I'll do some of those types of things. But when it's not in a game situation, it's very different,
yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So then actually trying to do those things in a game when someone's guarding you, or when someone else is passing you the ball that you haven't played with before, or things like that, it's just very different,
audience,
right? So, like, you can know it, you can have experienced it before, but then when it comes time to live it, if you haven't been living it, it gets really hard, right? And so there is an adjustment period to it, to actually living it out, and it takes some time, but then as that goes on, it's like, it gets easier and easier and easier. Right. But we can't just be satisfied with just the knowing it and the experiencing it, right? Like, I think that's one thing that I realized, like, there's nothing like actually playing in the game, right? I've been coaching my kids' teams the last few years, and it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it, but it's not the same as actually getting to play yourself, right? And so, yes, the beginning was really difficult because I couldn't do what, it's like, I used to be able to do this, and I can't do that anymore, or some of it's just because I'm old, and then some of it's because I haven't touched the ball in a long time.
I would just say it's enhanced by being old, so it's still there no matter what. But it's
And then now instead of playing with people that are my own age, I'm playing with people that are 20 years younger than me, and it's like, oh man, I'm.
Oh wow, yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Well, okay, so it took a while to get the timing back, the rhythm back, the feeling back. But as I've kept doing and keep playing, it's getting easier and easier and easier. And it's like, oh, this is, I feel better after the game than I did a few weeks ago, right? And it's just continuing to stick with it, continuing to do it, continuing to press on, and continuing to not, like, get so down on myself that it's so difficult, right? Because I think sometimes that's what happens. It's like, we face a little bit of adversity when we're trying to live something out, and then, oh, well, that was too hard, I'm not going to do it. But when we keep persevering and we keep going, then things get a little bit easier. Starts to feel more natural. If we start to find our rhythm, if I start to get more comfortable in that new space. And I kind of think that, you know, when you were talking about expanding our aquarium and, mm-hmm. and I kind of felt like that's how it is sometimes. When we expand our aquarium, the beginning is a little bit difficult. There's opposition and it's like, oh, I should just go back to the safe spot. Mm. Go back to the old one, right? It's like, I can just go back to coaching and that's fine. That gets my basketball fix in. But as we've kept playing, you know, it's a 13-week league, right? So as we've kept going, it's like, oh, actually, this is getting more fun. This is getting more, and I'm able to do more of the things that I know that I can do. So I guess as an encouragement, if you feel like that has been your experience when you've tried to, you know, go to a bigger aquarium, that the adversity has been hard, mm-hmm. just keep pressing in mm-hmm. because the bigger aquarium is actually full of bigger joy and bigger fullness too.
So if you haven't listened or watched the message, the aquarium analogy is about sharks. So sharks only grow to a size proportionate to their living space. So if they're in a smaller aquarium, they're gonna be fully mature, but a certain size. But if they get moved to a bigger size aquarium, they're gonna grow more, even though they've already been matured. So that's the idea behind that. But it's interesting when you were talking, I was relating it to baseball. So baseball season right now, Trish and all of us, all of our boys are playing baseball. But it's, I'm wondering too, if almost like the practice is the knowing and the experiencing. Mm-hmm. You get to learn things in practice. You mm-hmm. get to experience actually how to do plays. But then in the game, game time is different. It matters. It's more stressful. That's when you have to live it out. So it's like you need the first two, but if you just practice all the time and just knew more and you got to experience it on a functional level, but you don't get to experience like the actual thrill of it in a game, it's like, oh yeah, that's very much, you're missing out on something.
Yeah. I mean, I'll see like Nick's coach will like separate the team and they'll do a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And every kid is just hitting, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're just like, I heard a mom like, dude, what? Where is this? Like during game time, right? And I'm like, there's no pressure here. Right. The kids are just having fun. Now, like you got it. Pressure is like, it's going to make or break you, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the big difference about like in the game time. Mm-hmm. There's like pressure on you, Damon. You got to get that rust off. But we struggled a lot with Nick because last Memorial Day, he was in a tournament and he went to slide into third and he cracked his kneecap and he played on it for a couple of weeks. And I mean, it was just bad. So we took him finally to the doctor and then that's when they told us that he had cracked it and he had to like basically sit on the couch for a whole month. And so to get back on the field took a lot for him. He was just rusty. There was some nerves there.
Confidence
went down. He was sluggish.
Yeah.
Then fall ball comes and we're like, okay, this will like prep him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beginning of fall ball, he hits a foul ball straight to his eye.
Oof.
Like it was bad.
Yeah.
So he had fat eye, black eye then because I'm going to brag. I mean, his batting average was over 600. He was hitting over the fence home runs. Like, and then after that, he would get in that batter's box, which I would be like, I'm done.
Yeah, right.
I'm done. I'm not going back in. He would always go there, but then he started always striking out. Mm. You know, I'd notice, you know, he's closing his eyes now, like things that he never did before. And then it was like, oh, it was, I didn't even want to go to games anymore because it was so painful to watch him struggle both ways. And then he stuck with it. He never said, no, I'm not going to play. He stuck with it. And now this weekend, he just went back to his old self. And as a mom watching that, it was so hard. But then for me, like it grew me this weekend because I was like, my kid did it. Like he's out there, you know, making double plays. a ball hit his glove, shot him right in the throat, went to the ground, picked it up, threw it to first, and got the out. Like, and it was just like, thank you. You just went through all this pain and suffering, stuck with it, and now he's back at it.
Yeah, I think to carry that forward for people, it shows that you need people in your life that have your back, like his coaches, his teammates, you guys, you know, you guys still supported him all through that time too. That when we go into these bigger arenas, so to speak, where God wants us wants to mature us more, it's not all peaches and cream, right? Like life isn't just easy because, oh yeah, he's going to move me up another level. Well, it's like, yeah, that's going to come with challenges too. So that's one thing I didn't get to share on Sunday. That aspect is that God wants us to step into these different things so we can grow more. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy or even necessarily fun all the time. But when we look back, we'll be, oh, I needed that. That was good. And in the midst of it, if we're connected with this Holy Spirit, we'll be like, oh, I experienced joy and peace and his kindness and goodness in the midst of those things where I couldn't have before. But that's really awesome that he was able to push through and persevere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Trish, I have a question for you. As his mom and seeing kind of the growth and the perseverance in him doing that, would you trade the situation? Like for him to have never gotten hurt, everything to have been easy, or do you feel like, you know, the kind of like the pride that you had this weekend was birthed out of him overcoming the struggles?
Yeah.
And would that have changed if like he just played fine the whole time, you know?
That's hard because it was injuries. Like, you know, like, like I don't want to see my kids hurt because that was painful. But no, I guess because now I'm coming out on the other side. If you would have asked me this when he was still in that low, I'd be like, heck no. Right, you know, but yeah, I think what you're saying is correct. Like, I don't think because I know what we speak into him and we, you know, always bring it back to God and that only grew him because he had to quote unquote suffer some bit of it to get back to his A game. I don't think I would trade it. It grew me. Like the whole situation just grew everyone because as a mom, I'm like, no, don't, you know, you just want to say no.
And I part of the reason that I'm asking is because I think sometimes that's our mentality with God, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm going through something difficult. God, just take it away, right? And we're not, I mean, in the midst of it, we're not seeing like what can come out of it or what God is trying to produce in us by allowing us to go through certain things. And so, yeah, I just wanted to ask that question because I feel like that's a kind of a paradigm shift for a lot of people to think of it in terms of, wow, what is God trying to do in me right now during this difficult season, as opposed to just letting everything be easy the whole time? Like, why couldn't everything just go easy for us?
Mm-hmm. No, it's tempting because I think that it's the, what about now? It's but that's kind of goes back to the picture of immaturity and maturity, that one quote I read about, you know, infants only think about now, what's in it for me now, and it's all about the present. And if we get stuck in that mode, not that that mode is totally irrelevant. I mean, there's like legitimate questions and legitimate struggles about now, but it's also about where has God been in the past? Where have I been in the past? And who else has been like this? And then what about the future and what's coming? I think if we get very narrow focused, I don't know that we can go any different than take it away.
Yeah. All right. So since we're talking about baseball, Kyle, you had another kind of analogy about like minor league baseball and.
Okay. So I actually, I think the shark in the tank and then growing, like if you put a shark back in the ocean, it'll grow to its full size. It could be 6 inches in an aquarium, but it'll grow to eight feet or something in the ocean. And I was thinking about it in baseball. Like baseball has different levels, right? It's minor leagues and then major leagues. Like we have to go through progressions, and each one of those is like a
and even
a
for
level
little
up.
League, there's there's divisions.
Right. Yeah, so that's where I was going to go with it. I'm like, oh, if you go down even further, like think about a major league player. They went through all of these different mm-hmm. levels, right, to get to where they're at. And that's like the pinnacle of that sport. And so I was thinking about it. And I'm like, okay, so if a 6-inch shark in a tank is fully mature, and that one guy's writing was like, well, what about how many of us are 6-inch Christians? Like, we've been a Christian, but we're just stunted growth. So then I was thinking, well, what about it like in Pinto? Like, your kids grew up playing pony ball too, right? Pinto, Mustang.
Yeah,
and then Bronco and all these different levels. Well, Pinto is like, I think it's like 6-7-year-olds, something like that.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, what if you had like a 35-year-old man in Pinto? I know it's funny, right? But it's like that makes it even more like, oh wow, like that just doesn't fit. But like if a 6-inch shark is like a fully grown, mm-hmm. mature person inside, so they should be mature, but and I think there's commercials. I think isn't Charles Barkley have like some of those? I don't know what it's for, but he's like getting drafted by kids to play like a pickup basketball game. He's like a grown adult, and I'm like, okay, it's funny. It's funny on one level, but then when the person thinks that that's where they belong because mm-hmm. they're going to have success and they're scared about what the next level holds, it looks funny in the wrong way too. Like, wow, like they're immature. Like they need to move on. And for me, it's like, okay, are they not self-aware like to be able to recognize that? Or are there not other people in their life to be able to say, dude, come on, like you need to move on. There's something better for you. You could stay here and be comfortable and happy, but nah, dude, you're kind of, it's kind of cringeworthy. So that's my other analogy besides the Shark Tank. So thoughts?
That was a good one. You had a few.
Oh, it was the auditing the class. So like, do you audit or take it for credit? So auditing's the easier way.
Yeah,
kind of along that thought process with the different divisions, it's cool to see when you actually challenge kids to move up, how they step into it, right? So in between Dylan's Mustang and Bronco seasons, they had like a fall ball, right? And so fall ball is kind of more developmental. It's not super serious, not super competitive, but it's to help them to just hone their skills to be ready for the spring season. Mm-hmm. So in between seasons, he kind of had a choice. It was, do you want to play down Mustang one more season for fall ball, or you can move up to Bronco for one more season? And he was kind of in between. So I said, I think it's actually better if you just move up to Bronco and see what that level's like, so you're prepared for the next level for the spring.
I mean, in all fairness to him, though, too, he's a small kid, right? So, like, to stay down in Mustang was actually more with kids his size.
Yeah.
So to move up was actually kind of maybe intimidating too.
Yeah, so he couldn't really decide. So I said, I think it's probably just better. You're going to be playing up there next time. It's better. You'll know some of the coaches up there. You'll know some of the other players up there, just to get accustomed to it when it's not super competitive and the game's not on the line. Yeah. And so he has another friend who's a similar age, similar situation, and he chose to stay down. And it was really, as the practices went on, as the games went on, just seeing all the different things that he was learning in Bronco, all the things that he was gaining in just like knowing what to do. And because the game is a lot more complicated than what you learn in the lower divisions.
The bases are further apart. The pitchy mound, like everything.
Yep.
And so, you know, halfway through the season, the dad of his friend came up to me and said, man, I wish I would have done the same thing that you did and had my son go up, because some of the stuff that he's learning is not the same. Yeah. It's not the same. And he's not getting better. He's just staying the same. And I was like, man, Dylan's like getting way better just because he's being pulled into this bigger aquarium. And it was cool to see him do that and have a little bit of success too, but just seeing the growth and just knowing what to do, and it really did help him when that next season came. It was like, oh, he's ready for this now because he's experienced it. And his friend, it was a little bit more difficult transition.
Yeah, when Christian, since he played when he was 4 years old, because he played all the way through with Pony, and we only did fall ball when he was going to move
the next one.
The next one. And we always put him in.
That's good.
Because that's what you're playing in spring. Like, that's
get him ready for
you need
it.
To be in that division, whatever you're playing in spring. And because as a mom, I was like always nervous. It's my first one. And I'm always like, oh my gosh, those kids are huge. Well, all my kids, like, we're always the smallest, you know, in whatever they're doing. And so I'm always like, oh my gosh, those kids are huge. And so that was like the perfect thing to do. Cause it is scary. Huh. And even just the fear part aspect of moving up, the fact that he chose to go to Bronco for fall ball, like, that's a huge step right there. Like, you know, no, I'm going to face this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I think, you know, for us, that's one thing that we need to recognize, that the Lord wants more for us, right? And he wants to for us to experience more. And he also wants us to, like, be able to live it more, right? He calls us his, you know, hands and feet. He calls us his ambassadors to the world. So they're going to see him through us, right? And it's not just from us, you know, sitting behind our desk and reading our Bible all the time, but it's how are we living and interacting in the world. And they're going to see our relationship with him through how we interact with each other, how we interact with other people outside. And so he wants more for us. So he wants us to experience more so that when we are living it out there, that other people can see more of who he is through us.
I was just, I don't know why this came up, but when you were talking, my phrase, what you gonna do about it?
Oh, I love that.
Came up, and I was like, really? But that's God's call to us. Like, hey, I'm giving you these opportunities. I'm giving you this knowledge. I'm giving you this experience. What you gonna do about it? Like, how are you gonna live it out? Because if you just take it in, it's just, it's really become selfish. And even in that, like, it's still, you're not, it's not the fullness for you, but then you're also robbing it from, like, things for other people that you could step into.
I loved that. I was sitting there and I was like, I wanted to be like.
So really, that's how we got Trish to come in this morning, because she's like, hey, where's the podcast for today? And I said, oh,
right.
We're behind. We haven't recorded. What you going to do about it? And she's like, I guess I'm coming.
Yeah, I love it.
Basically, that's literally how it went down. I really enjoy that. So it's funny. I'm totally weird, but I know there has to be one person out there like me. I love coming out of a sermon and I'm like, I went like 10 rounds. Like, it was like Holy Spirit knocking me upside the head. And I've always been like, I guess just my whole life, I've been a fighter. So I always like, I love getting smacked around like at church, right? But the better way that Pastor Barry puts it is you need to start eating meat instead of just drinking milk. Like, and I guess that's what it is. It's, you know, what are you going to do about it? It just was like so perfect. And you guys know, I always say like, Jesus was pretty harsh. Like, I don't, in the Bible, he called out people. He was harsh and loving all at the same time. But I mean, he didn't like put like he was just like pretty blunt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's how I hear him talk. He's very blunt. And there's times where he's been very loving, like coddling. And then most of the time it's like, he's like, girl, like, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? And I think we need to realize those things. Like, we need to tell people like, what are you doing?
Right.
This doesn't make sense. Like, you're a 6-inch Christian. Like, those analogies were just like, so I love analogies. I love like sermons that are quote unquote like lectures, but I'm also a visual learner and I'm a hothead, like temper. So for me, I get a lot out of the multi-generational service because Dylan had this whole science, like, you know, with your emotions and when Jesus is there. And you know what? Go watch it on YouTube. We're not going to explain it, but he had a whole science thing for kids, like a whole video that he made about your emotions and how Jesus and, you know, so you don't explode. And literally there has already been some times, and I have that video in my head as I feel the blood pressure going up.
Are you sure it was the video and not Mark putting the hose on you?
Mark's all, here's Jesus. You were.
Mark told me that he was going to do that when you guys got home. So,
not yet.
And RIP Mark. He's no longer with us. So I just love both. Like you get mm-hmm. the meat, and then the multi-gen service is not just for kids. And I'm like, there's so many adults that learn like me. Like I'm also a visual learner. And so I loved it. And I just wanted to say that because you are speaking to the adults too. Like you are making a difference when you're making it geared towards kids, but the bigger kids also love those analogies and like the videos that go with it and everything. Yeah.
I think in summing up what you're saying is that you like coming to a sermon and getting the banquet of meat mm-hmm. and feeling full.
Yes. And beat up. I was kidding.
But I like that picture that you gave that sometimes, you know, when it is a sermon that is challenging or convicting, that really it's you're getting presented with the meat and mm-hmm. what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, my kids are at a stage right now where they're saying, I don't want any more milk. I don't want any more milk. Right. Mm-hmm. And then more because they don't like the flavor of the milk. But it's like, are we going to get to that point as believers where it's like, I don't want the milk anymore. I want the meat. I want to be challenged. I want to be yeah. convicted because I want that growth that mm-hmm. comes with it.
Yeah, I think when you were describing that, for me, it brought up the concept of being self-aware. Like I think as believers, sometimes we're not self-aware. Or I think not just as believers, just people in general. Well, let me go off a little bit on this. So Mimo took like a class at her work that they offered just for like development, and it was about some kind of like emotional awareness type of thing. But she went to the class and she actually was pretty high on her self-awareness. And the guy was like, yeah, only, I don't know the numbers. It's something like 10%. Only like 10% of people are naturally self-aware. But it's something that you can learn. And so you can learn how to become more self-aware of your emotions, of this or that. And I feel like that's part of it for our spiritual journey too, is being self-aware, being aware of when the Lord is speaking to us in a coddling voice, and like we need that mm-hmm. nurturing, but when it's also like something to bring you more conviction or challenge, which is more meat. Because I'm wondering how many people say they don't hear God speak a lot because they're only listening for, they're looking for the coddling. They want to like mm-hmm. everything's soft and lovely and mm-hmm. blah, blah, which those are good for certain mm-hmm. seasons. But if we're only looking for that, we're not going to recognize when like his conviction or his challenge or his like calling us up, you know, is there. And then we're missing out because we're not aware of that. So I think it's funny because I brought that up to Mimo recently. And okay, she said it really nicely, but I was like, yeah, I don't know if I've really always been self-aware, but I feel like I'm, and I was kind of like saying I'm growing in that. She goes, yeah, I think you're growing in it because I don't think you, she kind of like cut me off. But it was good because I felt like it's true. Like I don't feel like I was really self-aware because I wasn't really realizing I was lacking in it or that it was something I needed to grow in. And now I'm like, oh, there's areas where I feel like I had it a little bit, but there's certain, I'm like, oh, I don't think I was very aware in these certain situations. But I feel like that's helping me in general with my spiritual life too. It's helping me become more aware of the different areas of my spiritual life where maybe some are good and some are weak. But if I'm not recognizing that, or if somebody else isn't in my life to call that out, I'm pretty much just going to get stuck right where I'm at.
So basically you're giving us free reign to call you out now, right?
Sure.
Oh, go for it. My goodness, Damon.
But But because you have to
I'm just making sure I get permission before
you have permission, but in the passage I spoke on, it says in love, right? Speak the truth in love, right? So it has to be in love.
Just say it nicely.
Yeah.
So you suck.
As long as you just preface, this is in love. You know, like just dump on them. No, just kidding.
But I think the world also is so focused on your truth. Do what you feel, do like, don't feel ashamed for this or that, you know, where God gave us our gut instincts. God gave us feeling shame.
Right.
Because I feel like shame is like, you don't feel shame because it's bad. Now, there's a whole other aspect to shame, but I feel like God gave us all these emotions, shame, guilt, because that's supposed to turn us back to Jesus.
Yeah.
We need to repent, and we need to acknowledge whatever caused that. Mm-hmm. And then you don't sit in it.
Yeah.
Because then you sit in it after you've repented or kind of went through whatever that guilt was. Then it's like turns into its own little sin itself by sitting in the shame and the guilt. When God gives us those feelings, it's because he wants us to go to him, and we can be free from those emotions through him instead of ignoring it. Like, nah, no shame. Like, no, I have no shame, no guilt, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
That's just- no, I think those words for me are hard to use in context with the Lord, because I think they have such a negative worldly type perspective.
Yep.
I think when you were describing it, there's a healthy aspect to those types of things. And so for me, I try to use words that are more like conviction, or it's like the Holy Spirit brings those, which is, it's still like the same thing guilt or shame does, but it's like really from him, from his loving perspective.
Yep.
But I think when people hear those, I'm glad you said it, because I think sometimes we can as Christians say, oh yeah, guilt or shame, that's, you should never feel that.
Yeah.
You should feel it from a healthy way. So I would just categorize it as conviction or something, because I can separate it as guilt or shame. For me, is more associated with the things that the enemy wants to bring in, but it's the same aspect. But like God's way to do it is I call it more conviction, but it's the loving, holy way of bringing those same point.
But I think if we talk about it, because those words shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, it should not be, because God gave us this internalness, because to be free from guilt and shame is through him.
Right.
And he's the only one that can break that. But the world wants us to just ignore it, numb it.
Right, right, right.
But you're not going to be free from it.
Right.
And it's like, if we just can talk about it, how amazing the gift of guilt and shame in our emotions is a gift from God, because that then turns us to him, and we need to go to him.
Right.
And we're like, Lord, this, and this, you know, I repent, or please help me with, you know, maybe I have some shame, but it wasn't from me, you know, help me through this situation. And then he can free us, but the world wants those words to be, you know,
to be weights that stick with us.
Like, they do not want those words associated. It's such a bad word that we can't even, like, for me, like, I'm convicted. I don't know. It doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, but it's like, if you could recognize that, when you have that little like, feeling.
Yeah, it's.
I did something wrong. Like, I did something wrong.
Right, right, right.
That's guilt. Like, you, because you did something wrong.
Right.
Okay, what's the solution? Because only God can free us from, like, it's that little kid that steals like a piece of candy at the grocery store, and they have that complete like guilt and shame from it. And it's like a weighted vest on. But it's so funny when they can confess and, you know, give, they didn't even eat the candy.
Right.
And then they feel so much better. They feel free again. And it's like, we just need to talk about that. because yeah, only God can free us from that.
It's really which voice is saying it,
yep.
Right? Oh, you're guilty of that. Yeah, if it comes from the accuser, it's going to have a whole different thing, and it's meant to pile on other things versus God. It's meant to redirect us and to bring us out of something. So I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's good that you have a tangible example, because I was trying to think, some of this can be really conceptual. So like, what does good, healthy guilt or shame look like? Mm-hmm. And kind of what I was thinking was one of the images that they talked about in the Bible Project video on peace was, right, if for some reason that you're there and something happens to your neighbor's sheep, and you're the cause of it, right? Something is wrong and you did it. Mm-hmm. Do you just not even acknowledge it, right? There should be some level of like, I'm at fault for this and I need to do something about it to make it right, right? Mm-hmm. To bring that wholeness to the situation, because otherwise he's going to be upset that I did something wrong and I didn't fix the problem. I didn't do anything about it.
Or even acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it, right? Mm-hmm. So in that situation, they said, yeah, when I pay for the fullness of the cost of that sheep or whatever it was that died, right? So like if I were to get in an accident and hit Trisha's car, I'm like, oh, I got no guilt, no shame, no nothing, right? And then Trisha's stuck with a beat up car that doesn't work anymore, and it's my fault. There should be some level of like, I need to make things right, right? And as I make things right, then there can be wholeness in our relationship. There's not resentment. There's a healthy level that allows for the reconnection of relationship and not building up walls and things like that too. Yeah.
Amen. I think it highlights that our society, the worldview, or not the worldview, this the way our society is, it points more towards immaturity and not owning up to things, not taking responsibility. And then that plays out in other aspects and that maturity just gets perpetuated. Like it takes a lot of effort and not, that word too can be, you know, striving, or it's just flat out effort. You have to mature. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes purposefully choosing certain things and not other things. But it's not the quick way. But the immature way, it's quick, but you're going to get to your destination really fast, and there's not going to be much there.
Yeah, I feel like the number, do we have time for just a quick story?
Sure.
So I feel like the number, like, we could have a long list, but we're just going to focus on like teachers and how their job, like to discipline kids now, so we'll just focus on that. Like, I can't even imagine. So it's just like, it's never their, like your fault. And then you grow up and you know what I mean? Like you could just blame anyone.
Right.
Anything that happens in your childhood, you could just constantly blame, right? Because maybe it wasn't me, but okay, you're a grown up now, you need to hang on to that. But my favorite story, and it was so sad, was Christian, I think he was a freshman, it was before COVID. So he goes, Mom, Mr. Lamb is gonna call you because we were taking a test, and it's so funny. Like, this is how I know he wasn't cheating. He's behind him. Mr. Lamb is behind Christian during the test, and Christian turns around like with my poor kid with his like can't sit still moment.
Right.
And he goes, no, I wasn't even, I just looked around. And I said, well, what is the rule? Like, are you allowed to look around during a test? No. Okay. You're telling me you weren't cheating. I'm going to believe you. But you broke the rule. Mm-hmm. Like, the rule is you don't look around during a test. Like, it's simple as that. And I said, but thank you for telling me. And Mr. Lamb called me, and he was like, real nervous. And so I let him tell me the story. And I said, okay, Christian told me, and he told me he wasn't cheating, but Mr. Lamb, he broke the rule. And so whatever you need to do with him, fail the test, retake the test, whatever punishment you need to do with him is fine with me, because he broke the rule. And he was like, okay, thank you so much, Mrs. LaChica. And then he said, I've never had a conversation with the parent like this. Mm. And I said, I am so sorry for that. But to let you know, if my son is not following the rules, then he deserves to be punished.
Right.
There's no like, what is happening right now? Right. And he was just like, wow. And he goes, I'll tell you the truth, because Christian had so many stories with this teacher and I would cry laugh. And so he said, yeah, he used to get under my skin a lot. And then I realized his sense of humor. And he's really funny now. And I'm like, oh my God, this kid, it drives me crazy. But that right there, you know, as a mom, I want to be like, he wasn't cheating.
Yeah.
He told me, I know my kid,
right?
You know, he's on a 504 plan. You know, he probably shouldn't even have been in the, like, I could have went off and been like, right, he's supposed to be in another classroom by himself taking a test. Like, you know, like that emotion as a mom, you want to protect your kids. Right. And I stuck to my gun and I was like, he broke the rule. Right. So punish him.
Yeah, because your mentality is he needed correction.
Yeah.
Right? Because correction helps to like keep you on a certain boundaries on a certain direction, right?
Yeah.
So even like you use the word punishment, I think some people would be like, ugh. But I'm like, but it's a healthy punishment. Like even so, like there's words that we use that have like a good way to use it and a bad way. Like that, it's like, it's not punishment to like be mean to him.
No.
It's a punishment, but it's like a correction because that's going to be for his good in the future.
Yeah. And Christian, you know,
he needed
to push those boundaries.
Over my years of podcasts and blah, blah, blah,
some kids push a little harder than others.
I have said Christian got a lot of abuse from me, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, right. I mean, he's hilarious. But you know what he told me? He came home in February. And he said, he just looked at me and he goes, Mom, thanks for momming me. And I was like, oh my God, you're going to make me cry. He goes, no, discipline. Like I needed discipline. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, because who wants to discipline their kids? It sucks. You want to be friends with them. But I'm just letting you all know with little ones, they'll come back at some point and thank you.
And I think that's really part of what we're talking about, right? Is like when we're going through it, when we're young, it might feel like this is difficult, or why are we getting disciplined for this, or why are we getting punished for this, or what? But the Lord has a plan for our lives and he wants more for us. And he wants us to experience more because he has big plans for each one of us. And he wants to see us living out of who he made us to be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not going to recognize that until we get to some of those maturity points, right? And now Christian is older and he's maturing and he's recognizing, wow, like those things that happened to me earlier, they actually helped me where I'm at now, help prepare me for that. And I think that's part of our hope, is that as we continue to mature, we recognize, oh, when we took these certain steps, or when we did these certain things, or we took advantage of some of these opportunities, they really helped to prepare us for where we are now.
Yeah, for me, just to close with it, one thing I forgot to mention in my message, which it's the one thing I really regret, is tying it back into our church's mission statement. Really, our church's mission statement is to help people mature, right? To help people become all that God created and called them to be. That's the maturing process. And really, that's what our passion is, to help people mature. And it's not a call out. It's not, you know, a negative thing. It's like, yeah, we're all on this journey together.
So we are running out of time, so I guess I'll try to sum it up like this. So if God made you to be an 8-foot shark, and right now you're a 6-inch shark, he has more for you, and he wants to see you grow into all that you are created and called to be. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.